Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us in the first of our three-part series on Tshuva annually. The Rabbanim of our Shul of Boker Haton Synagogue prepare in the month of Elul. We try to get ready. And each year we choose different themes so that we can complement one another and try to build a portrait or a picture and inspire all of us to be growing along the same path. And this year, apropos what's going on outside, we chose the theme of building construction. And preparing ourselves, building ourselves. Believe it or not, this was a gift from my parents because we're doing the construction. It's unclear to me if my father still has this from my youth. This is my toy, or he got it for me special. But it sits now in my office, and it reminds me not only of the construction that we're doing on our campus. We're building. And we're not building square footage. We're not building bricks and mortar. We're building Klal Yisrael, we're building Torah, and most importantly, we're building ourselves, because you can't build a people, you can't build others, you can't build a community if we're not building ourselves. And our theme this year is to talk about what that means and what that looks like. How do we prepare? How do we execute? How do we build a structure which is strong? And how can we expand ourselves, not only our campus, but really expand ourselves to be bigger and better versions of ourselves, to constantly be growing and advancing and becoming better and better. I mentioned earlier this morning at the Amunah Shir, can you imagine that we had a dream, we had a desire to expand our campus, more minyanim and more learning and more chesed and more community and more connection. So we told the contractors, show up, come with your bulldozers and come with your cranes and figure it out, start building. It'd be a disaster. They wouldn't get anywhere. Whatever they would cobble together wouldn't be safe and it wouldn't last. Certainly it wouldn't be legal. Because in order to build legally, what do you need? You need plans. You need architectural plans. You need detailed plans. You need to submit your plans for permitting. They need to be approved. They need to be legal. They need to be safe. You need to measure. You need to measure twice so you only cut once. You need to be able to be prepared in order to be able to build in a way that will last, in a way that is safe, in a way that is authentic, in a way that is real. And what's true for our shul and our campus is true for ourselves. So many of us this time of year, we deliver a lot of lip service. We get ready, we say certain tefillos, we attend certain shiurim. We have in mind or intention, change, grow, but they're wishes. They're simply wishes. We really want to wish to wake up one morning and be a better version of myself. I wish I were more patient. I wish I were more generous. I wish I knew more. I wish I connected more to tefillah. I wish I were a better husband and wife. I wish I were a better mother or father. I wish I were a better Eved Hashem. We confuse and we mistakenly think that we're prepared, that we're working, that we have plans, when really all that we have are wishes. Rav Kalanimus Kalman Shapiro, the Piazetzner Rebbe, we quoted him this morning in his Eish Kodesh, his wonderful sermons that he delivered in the Warsaw Ghetto, on the Pasuk Tomim Tiyam Hashem Lokecha. I want to quote him tonight in his spiritual diary. He wrote a spiritual diary. You'll say, what's a spiritual diary? A spiritual diary does not write, this is what I had for breakfast, this was lunch, look at a picture of my dessert, this one was nice to me, this one was mean to me, this is what we did today. That's a diary. A spiritual diary are, here are my hopes and aspirations, here are my dreams, here are my talents, here are my strengths, and here are my struggles. So he writes Tzav Viziruz, his spiritual diary, and I'll read it to you in the English. If you want to know if you progressed on your spiritual path over the years, the way to judge is to look at your resolution, at your inner drive, and not at your wishes. Only the inner drive with which you work to attain your desired goal is called resolution. But if you don't work, rather just want, it's not called resolution. It's just some wish that you wish for yourself to be blessed with that desired objective. For example, he writes, he's writing the early 20th century. Tzav Vizirov was written before he was in the Warsaw Ghetto and murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. For example, the pauper who works to sustain himself, this is drive, because he's doing something constructive toward it. But the wish that I'll find $1 million is just a wish to be rich, not a resolution. Every Jew would like to be a tzaddik, but that's no more than a wish. He'd like to wake up in the morning and suddenly find himself a tzaddik. Only the level and state of being that you seriously work toward can truly be called a resolution. When I first read this, and I've shared it before, it had an enormous impact on me because it's sobering. It demands of us to be honest with ourselves. Do we have wishes or resolutions? I have a wish. I have a wish to be more patient, to be more present. I have a wish to be healthier and exercising more. I have a wish to be more connected to tefillah, to my da'at. They're wishes. I want to wake up tomorrow morning and some genie will grant me my wish and it will come true. But those are just wishes. Wishes are not reality. And wishes are not a resolution. Says the Holy Pius Zetzner, we need not wishes, we need resolutions. What's the difference? A wish is a dream. It's a hope. But we want some genie to provide or produce it for us. We have no plan. We have no resolution. We have no formula. We have no calendar. We have no system in place. It's a wish. I wish I would wake up and be more fill in the blank. But those wishes, despite what the world tells us, most often do not come true. And they won't come true if they remain only in the realm of wishes. They need to be transformed from wishes into resolutions. A resolution. A resolution. That's the real secret to change, says the Pius Zetzner Rebbe. To be honest with ourselves and to distinguish. What are my wishes, but what am I willing and ready to make a resolution about? There are countless things that we claim to want to change about ourselves. But the measure or the evidence of whether we really want it or not is it just a wish or are we ready to make a resolution? Do we have a plan? Are we going to bring it into reality? Because, chevra, frankly, we're in control. We think we're not. We forfeit our control, but our DNA is not our destiny. Just because of where we come from doesn't mean that determines where we're going. Because of the circumstances and environment and people around us, it's just excuses to say that we can't take control. We can. If we're determined and if we make resolutions, if we have a plan, we put a place, we have parameters, and we're ready and we're willing to execute, we can turn those wishes into resolutions. I want to share with you a beautiful Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says that human beings have the potential to be either objects or subjects. So Drasha gave in 1974, he applied what a well-known brisker lamdus, a brisker chakira, a brisker way of analyzing a halacha, a Jewish law. For example, he was talking about the two components of the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. Is the mitzvah for the shofar to be blown? Is it a din in the cheftza, the object? Or is it a mitzvah to blow the shofar? Is it a din, is it a halacha in the gavra? In the individual. Do we focus on the mitzvah? Do we define the mitzvah by the cheftza, the object, or by the gavra, by the person? And he elaborates in two approaches with a nafkamina, what's the practical difference? A beautiful, incredible analysis of the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, of the mitzvah to blow the shofar. But that's not what I want to focus on or elaborate on right now. I want to share with you his application of this analysis to the mitzvah of shofar, cheftza and gavra, a classic, maybe the most classic brisker lamdus and analysis, not only on a mitzvah, but on us. We, every one of us in our lives, have the opportunity and the potential, the choice. Do you want to be a cheftza? Or are you willing, are you ready to be a gavra? When our lives are on autopilot, we're a product of our surroundings. When momentum is just carrying us, then we're coasting through life. When days blend into weeks, into months, into years, and we look back and realize we've simply been living the same year over and over and over again, then we're a cheftza. We're just an object being acted upon. But when we're mindful, when we're spiritually awake and conscious and conscientious, when we're driving our lives instead of being driven by them, then we're not a cheftza, we're not an object being acted on, we are a subject, we are the actors who are determining our lives. How do we prioritize and spend our time? How do we prioritize and spend our resources? Can we regulate our emotions and our reactions? Are we, as we've shared so many times, and it's not ours, many people say this idea, are we a thermostat or a thermometer? A thermometer takes your temperature. A thermometer reports on what it is. A thermostat controls the temperature. Many of us think, I'm a thermometer, I tell you. I'm angry, jealous. I'm happy, I'm so satisfied. I'm sad. We report on our temperature. We report on our emotion as if we're just a thermometer. I can tell you how I feel. I tell you my emotion, but I have no control over it. But that's not accurate. It's not who we are. That's not how it has to be. You're not just a thermometer. Don't just report to others what's happening. I saw a comedian had a whole routine on the definition of marriage. Marriage is the privilege of waking up next to somebody who every day will give you a full report on how they slept the night before. That's marriage. How many times they woke up, they fell in a deep sleep, they didn't, they fell asleep, but they woke up, they couldn't fall asleep, how long they slept. Azai, that is marriage, the definition of marriage. A thermometer. I have a report. I want to tell you how my stomach is. I want to tell you how well I slept. I want to tell you how I'm feeling. I want to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you emotionally, spiritually, this is where I'm at. I'm a thermometer. But we don't have to be, and we shouldn't be. We can be a thermostat. We can control our temperature. We don't have to indulge the emotion, the feeling of anger or of envy. We should never swell with arrogance. We don't have to be impatient and lose our cool. We have the capacity to not just have wishes to be different, but to make resolutions. We have the opportunity, says Rav Soloveitchik, to not just be a chefza. Don't just be an object, but be a gavra. It's time to step up and be a gavra. But the difference between an object and a subject, a chefza and a gavra, is the admission and the willingness to accept the responsibility that I am in control. That I'm not just going to have wishes and dreams to wake up different one day, but I have a resolution and a plan. I have a resolution and a plan to incorporate more learning in my life. I have a resolution and a plan to spend more time with my family. I have a resolution and a plan from disconnect from technology and be more present with the people around me. I have a resolution and I have a plan. And I'm going to be able to measure. I'll be able to report. There are going to be outcomes. One of my favorite quotes, Peter Drucker, what gets measured gets managed. Wishes don't get measured because it's just a wish. There's a genie in a bottle and I hope and I wish I'll wake up tomorrow morning. I'll be thin, hair will grow back on my head. I'll be patient, I'll be this, I'll be that. There's your wishes and wishes don't come true. Wishes don't come true. You have to make a resolution. You have to go from an object being acted upon to a subject who's an actor in our own lives, from a thermometer to a thermostat. It's not a coincidence, said the Rav, that when the Jewish people fail, when we make mistakes, when we come up short, for example, the Chet of Chava, the Chet HaEgel, Shimshon, and many others, the Torah uses a verb over and over and over again, and the verb the Torah uses is falling, a Yerida. And Shimshon went down, and Chava went down. The Chet HaEgel, we had a Yerida, we went down. Why, when the Torah sees us as making a mistake, as coming up short, as having poor judgment, why is it described as falling? Said Rav Soloveitchik, because an object falls. An object is impacted by gravity. An object descends, it crashes, and it burns, it fails. When we allow our lives to be objects, when we're passive spectators, I couldn't help it. It wasn't my fault. It's my nature. I have my instinct. I have my DNA of those who came before. That's just the way we are. We're always late, or we're always angry. We have rage, we have anger issues. That's the way, we're jealous. That's who we are, that's what I am. What can I do? When we act like an object, a passive object, it's just the way it is, then we're destined to fall, we're destined to fail. Like gravity, the way gravity impacts an object, if we live our life as a chefza, gravity will impact us. Pnei Menachem, the great Ger Rebbe, was once asked, why do we live in a world? Why did Hashem create gravity? There's a mashal and nimshal. There's a corollary for everything in the physical world, for the spiritual world. So what's the spiritual corollary for gravity? Why did Hashem create gravity? I should be able to take this toy that my parents got me. I should let go of it where I'm holding it and should stay where it is. Why does it fall? Why, when I move my hands, does it drop? What is the message? What is the lesson of gravity? Without hesitating, the Pnei Menachem said, because we need to know that just like in the physical world, there's a gravitational pull. It's always working and acting upon everything. And unless you resist it, unless you fight it, unless you're lifting to go against it, you're going to fall. That's gravity. Gravity is a pull. It's lowering us. And you have to fight it and you have to resist it in order to offset it. What's true physically is true spiritually. There is no neutral. There is no pariv. You can't simply coast through life. If you're coasting through life, if you're living off of wishes instead of resolutions, if you see yourself as a spectator and a passive object instead of a subject, gravity will pull you down. Like Chava, the Chaita Egel, Shimshon, the Meraglim, and countless others, we will fall. If you see yourself as an object, gravity will pull you down. The Torah tells us we have the opportunity to not just be an object. Don't give in, don't concede, don't forfeit. Just like you don't have to let gravity pull things down, we have the strength and we have the capacity when we have the will and when we have the resolve. We can fight gravity. We can ascend. We can lift. We can go up. And it's not a coincidence that the Torah and Chazal, whenever they talk about tshuva, they talk about change and repair and improvement and transformation. It is always used in the language of ascending. It's always with going up. B'nei Aliyah, to be a Ben Aliyah, to be going up. Why do we describe improving or growing or redeeming or repairing? Why is that going up? Because you know what goes up? Subject can lift up. An object, gravity pulls down. And that's our choice. That's our choice this year, every year. But this time of year, we're looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, am I a subject or an object? Am I just a chefza being acted upon? What can I do? It's my spouse, it's my children, it's my boss, it's my rabbi, it's my neighbor, it's the person that's next to me in shul. That's why I am the way I am. I'm just an object acted upon by everyone else. If that's the case, we're going to fall. We're going to fall fast. We're going to fall hard. But we have the opportunity to be a subject, to lift up, to fight that gravitational pull, to resist gravity, and to do tshuva lashuv. Lashuva, tshuva is the answer. We can be the answer, and we can return to who we're meant to be our very, very best selves. That's what we're supposed to do. The Rambam writes, at the mitzvah of shofar, we already are practicing each and every morning right now, getting ready to fulfill the biblical mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah itself. And the Rambam writes, although the shofar blowing of tshuva is a biblical law, is a Torah law, it's midaraisa, there's a remez, there's an illusion, as if the shofar is saying to us, it's like an alarm. Awake! Wake up! Wake up, sleepers, from your slumber. Arise. Scrutinize and analyze and investigate and take responsibility and accountability for who you are and your actions and your behavior. Remember. Remember your borei. Remember your creating. Why is Rosh Hashanah, why is this time of year all about waking up? Why are we waking up? Because we're going from objects to subjects. When a person is sleeping, they're an object. They look like an object. They look like this, some lazy, good-for-nothing, eisfarb, endlessly sleeping, procrastinating, lethargic, lying on the couch. They look like an object. It's an object on your couch, fast asleep, an unconscious body. But when we wake up, when we lift ourselves up, when we wake up, we become a subject again. We're animated, and we have free will, and we have choice. We go from just being a thermometer to a thermostat, from an object to a subject. The problem is that too many people are sleeping even while they're awake. They're a chefza even when they're supposed to be a gavra. They're an object even while they're walking around ostensibly as a subject. And the shofar is that alarm clock piercing, waking us up, telling us stop being a passive object, wake up and be a subject. The Ramban Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yerushalmi. When I was a kid, I thought this was a Baba Maisa from my Bubby, a Bubby Maisa. That you're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have a sleepy year. So the people who every morning report to their slouch, I couldn't sleep last night, I didn't fall asleep last night, I didn't stay asleep last night, they say, I want to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because I'd love to have a sleepy year. But it's not just a Bubby Maisa, a Baba Maisa. The Ramar of Moshe Yisrael, Shulchan Aruch quotes it from a Yerushalmi, No again shaloi lishon biyom Rosh Hashanah uminag nachon hu. We have a practice not to nap or sleep on Rosh Hashanah day, and that is a worthy custom. Some are mekel, if you're in the chair or the couch, you're not in your bed. If you open up a sefer and you fall asleep, anas rachmana patre, what could you do? There's nothing you can do. I am in danger on Rosh Hashanah because as the rabbi who darshans, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, I'm in danger of causing a lot of people to violate this minog. It's a problem. So you'll say, Rabbi, don't speak. It's not that big a problem. We figure it out. It's not that big a problem. That's why we have the thermostat and we make it freezing cold to keep you awake. So that you don't fall asleep on Rosh Hashanah, you won't have a sleepy New Year. Where does this come from? Where did Ramah have this Yerushalmi? The simple understanding is every moment, every millisecond of that day is precious, inestimable value. Take advantage. Anyone ever coming before a judge who's going to determine the outcome of their life, and the lawyer's looking for them, and it turns out they're around the corner, they're on the bench in the courthouse, they fell asleep. Anybody who's waiting for the jury to come back, anyone who's waiting for the judge to rule, and they fell asleep? Never. Every second, you're waiting, you're praying. So, Rosh Hashanah, every moment, learn, daven, do a chesed. Don't sleep it away. Don't sleep it away. But I want to suggest to you that maybe this minhag, maybe what the Ramah is alluding to, what the Yerushalmi is getting at, Sfaradim are allowed to sleep. It's brought down by the Ramah. It's only Ashkenazim who have to stay awake. It's the Ramah, not the Shulchan Aruch. But Rosh Hashanah is a day, it's a time, not to be an object, but to be a subject. Don't take a nap. Don't fall asleep. Don't be lazy. Don't pass out. Push, push, push. You got it. Stay awake. It's game time. Leave it all out on the court. You've got it. It's go time. Rosh Hashanah is go time. So Dafka on Rosh Hashanah is a day. Don't be a chefta. Don't be an object. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall down on the couch or in your bed. Be a subject. Rise up. Wake up. Picture and decide where you're going and how you're going to get there. Don't just be filled with wishes, but be filled with endless, endless resolutions. Decide and determine how you're going to go. How do we do that? How do we do that? That's our subject for tonight. That's our subject for tonight. So I want to tell you a few things that I've said before. I'm repeating them not for you, but for myself. And I'm not going to apologize for repeating them. I'll tell you why. First of all, because you probably forgot them. But second of all, you know, it's unfair in the Rabbanus. You hear people say all the time, my Rosh Yeshiva loved to say, every year Parshas Kisetze, my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva would say. But if the rabbi repeats a Dvar Torah, you had nothing else? You're just recycling? You're just recycling? When it's the Rebbe, or the Rebbe, or the Rosh Yeshiva, they love to repeat, they love to say, they were very fond of saying. But the Rav, you're not allowed to, you know what? I'm not going to apologize. There are messages we have to repeat, we have to repeat. So this is an incredible Sfas Emes. It's a beautiful Sfas Emes. And this is the Sfas Emes to transform your Elul. It's relevant the whole year round, but particularly this time of year, to get us ready in the right mindset and to understand what's our mission, what we're trying to do. Sfas Emes says the following. Niskasha, Moshe b'menorah, v'hera l'Hashem yisborach. Moshe Rabbeinu, back in Sefer Shmos, the Mishkan is being built, the kelim, the vessels in it. And Moshe is told, build a menorah, and can't make heads or tails. Build a what? How does it go? How does it work? How is it going to happen? Because the menorah had certain criteria. It was made from gold, but it had to be shaped, molded out of one solid piece of gold. It was ornate. It had many features. It was complicated. So you understand how technical, how difficult it was, this slave nation led by Moshe, who had been on the run in Midian and came back. Where'd they get the skill sets? How are they going to succeed in molding a menorah out of one solid piece of gold? He didn't know where to begin. He didn't know where to begin. V'achakach ksiv shenaseis me'atzma, te'aseh. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rashi, their quotes, that Hashem showed him, he showed him the blueprints, he showed him the plans for the menorah. And once Moshe saw it, he threw the gold in the fire, and it came out the menorah, a miracle. Hashem was the blacksmith. Hashem was the metal worker. Hashem is the one who made it happen. Freik the Sfas Emes, ask the Ger Rebbe. Once he asks it as an obvious question. Anyone remember the Sfas Emes? Come on, make me feel better that I'm repeating it. You're all Bali Chesed. Should be rewarded so manyfold for your Chesed of making me think it's important because you don't remember it. Ask the Sfas Emes the following question. If Hashem was going to make a miracle and do it for him, why did he have to show him the blueprint? Why did Moshe need to see the specs? Why did he need the instructions? Why? If Hashem was going to take care of it, just say to Moshe, listen, forget about it. You're Jewish. You have no idea what you're doing. You don't belong in Home Depot. You don't belong in Lowe's. You don't belong touching any tools. Forget about it. Just throw the gold in. I'll take care of it. Why did he have to first show him this picture of what the menorah was going to look like? Why do you have to give him the instructions or the blueprint? Imkein lama heralo? Ach yaide rotzon ha'odom b'lev v'nefesh be'emes, nigmar ha'sha'ar. Masheni yochol asos, nasa me'atzmo. Says the Hilchos Vasem is the following. We only merit divine assistance. We only get help in meeting and reaching our goal if we begin by having a picture and a plan of what we want. If you have no idea where you're going, anywhere will get you there. What's the goal? What's the destination? Who do we want to be? How do we want to be thought of? What do we want our reputation and our legacy? What's our brand? Who do we want to be? What's your brand? When someone says your name, and you're not there to a group of people, how do you want to be thought of? The generous or the stingy? The kind or the insensitive, the cruel? The first to volunteer or the last to be willing to help? The hospitable and generous or the stingy and cheap? The one who's devoted to a real and genuine relationship with Hashem, with emunah bitachon, an ongoing conversation with the Almighty, or somebody who's a lost soul? How do you want to be thought of? What's your brand? The first to volunteer, to help, to show up? The person who honors their commitment to be on time, or the one who's always running late? You could count on them to be the last one there. What's your brand? If you don't know what you want your brand to be, you'll never have it. How do you want to be thought of? How do you want to be considered? What do you want your reputation to be? What do you want your legacy to be? In this life, I don't mean when we're gone. How do we reverse engineer our life so that whatever we want our legacy to be, whatever we want to be said about us, indeed will be said about us? Do we have a picture of the life that we want to live? What does our best davening look like? What does our weekly, daily learning look like? What does it mean for me to be the best husband or wife or mother or father or son or daughter or friend and Eved Hashem? What does it look like? What's the picture of it? If you don't have a picture of it, Hashem can't and won't give you divine and providential assistance to get there. Says the Sfas Emes, before the miracle could happen, before the menorah would be provided, Moshe first had to see a picture of what it would be. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he doesn't step in and he doesn't help unless we first have a picture. The contractor spent a long time. The architect spent a long time. The electrical engineer and architect. The landscape architect. The high voltage and the low voltage architects. Turns out there's a lot of architects when you do a project. There's a lot of people. You know why? Because if you want a finished product that meets your expectation, if you want a finished product that functions fully, if you want a finished product that you're proud of, that stands safe and secure, then you need to plan. You need pictures. You need detailed plans. You need engineers. Otherwise, you can't build it successfully. And that's what Elul is. That's what we're doing. That's what this time of year is all about, says the Sfas Emes. Do we have a picture? Do we have a plan? Are you a subject who's now going to build it, or are you an object who's just going to fall to wherever gravity takes you? How many people are simply the result, the composite of everything around them? Whatever my parents did, I do. Whatever my friends do, I do. Whatever's in, whatever society, whatever the community, whatever my neighbors, that's what I do. So many people are simply the result, the composite of everything around them. They're an object. They're being molded and shaped by others. They're falling. It's time to be a subject, to rise up, to fight and resist gravity, to determine and dictate our lives, to not just have wishes to wake up one day and be different, but to make a resolution. What's your resolution? What's your resolution? That's the job for Elul. That's our job for Elul. We're not even up to the construction phase. You can begin. There's some soft construction. There's some site work that needs to be done on each of us. We're not even up to the hardcore construction. We're not even up to lifting the walls yet. Mirtz Hashem, please God, still need a few things to fall into place. Hopefully the walls are going to be up by Rosh Hashanah, at least the first one. It'll be amazing when you come here and see the progress that's being made. We're not even up to lifting the walls in our lives, the construction, the heavy construction phase. But there's work to be done before. Elul is the work of a picture and a plan, of a resolution, of how we're going to get where we want to go, how we'll be the person that we claim we want to be, how we'll live the life that we say we want to live, how to create a brand and a reputation and a legacy that we claim we want to have and the way that we want to be thought of. You can't get there without a picture and without a plan. And you won't make a picture and a plan by accident. And it doesn't happen on its own. It happens if you set aside and make time for it. Our life is happening in super speed. We're living in the age of speed. We're running, we're going, we're doing one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And all of time blends together until it disappears. And we can't believe we wake up and find ourselves at the end of yet another year. Can you believe it's the end of Tavshin Pehe? It just began. How could it be? It was just last Elul. We were just sitting here having our last Tshuva series. We were just walking into the last Rosh Hashanah. It was just Hanukkah. It was just Tu B'Shvat. It was just Purim. It was just Pesach. Well, how could it be? The answer is time is happening so fast, such supersonic speed that we're living, that it takes intention and mindfulness to slow it down, to press pause, and to say, before I continue, where do I want to go? I've got to put a destination in if this GPS is going to give me directions about how to get there. What's my plan? What's my purpose? What's my resolution? Who are my resolution partners who are going to hold me accountable? What's the system, the platform I'm going to use to measure? Because what gets measured gets managed. What spreadsheet am I going to start for my life this year? Am I going to track what I learn each day? Am I going to track whether I was late, on time, early to davening? Am I going to track the quality of time I spent with the people around me I claim to love? Am I going to track if I'm really giving tzedakah and the miser that I think in my head I give? Are we just going to have resolutions to wake up and be different, or are we ready to have a picture and make a plan? Will we be able to look back at the end of next year and say, what a successful year? My scorecard reveals a winning year. My plans came to fruition. I fulfilled the promise in me. What's next? What's my next mission? What's my next purpose? How can I take it from here? Our plan and our picture is not the same. Say, Rabbi, what do I need that for? Torah tells us, have good midos, keep halacha, ma'ashem lekecha shomei imach. What does God want from you? Just this list of things. So just do it. Keep halacha, have good midos. What's the big deal, right? Judaism and life are not a one-size-fits-all. Kadosh Baruch Hu is expecting and wants something different from each and every one of us, and that is the essence and the core of life, and it's also what Elul is all about. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, begins his Mesilas Yesharim with a game-changing statement. He describes Perek Aleph, Yesod HaChasidus, the foundation of righteousness, V'shorash HaAvoda, and the root of serving Hashem, Avoda Tamimahu, she is barer v'yisamet etzel adam ma chovaso be'olamo. Let me repeat that. The foundation of righteousness and the root of a genuine service of Hashem is to clarify v'yisamet and to discover the truth etzel adam for a person to ask themselves a simple question. We have to ask ourselves a question. And the question is, ma chovaso be'olamo. What is your mission? What is your purpose? It does not say be'olam in the world. It says be'olamo. What's the difference between be'olam, the world, and olamo? Olamo doesn't mean the world. It means in your world, his world, her world. Old editions of Mesilas Yesharim translations mistranslate it. They say the foundation of righteousness and the root of holiness is to clarify and to ask yourself, what is your mission in the world? But that's not what it says. It doesn't say the world. What does it say? In your world. What's the difference between the world and your world? The world is one big generic, everyone's in a box, everyone looks the same, cookie cutter, one size fits all world. But that's not the world. Each and every one of us are a world unto ourselves. When we save a life, we save the whole world. And if we take a life, we've destroyed a world, because each of us is a unique expression, manifestation of the Hashem Yisbarach in this world, in the world, and we are a world unto ourselves, a whole world. And our challenge and our mission is not to compete and not to compare and not to keep up with other people, because we're not living in their world, and they're not in our world. We each have a unique and distinct world. My parents, my ancestors, my socioeconomic status, my talents, my skills, my mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, my circumstance, my life creates my world. There's no one else in it. My world is unique and distinct from me. And given who I am, my strengths and my weaknesses, my talents, my liabilities, where I come from and who I am, what is my mission? That, says the Ramchal, is the quintessential question. That is the question for this time of year. To ask ourselves, not once in life, who do I want to be when I grow up? What is my mission and purpose? Why am I here? To ask it every day, ideally, but minimally once a year, to evaluate and reevaluate. How has my world changed since last year? For some, it's changed and improved incredibly for the better. For others, they've sustained or endured a hardship, a loss, a challenge. Their world was rocked and their world was changed. None of our worlds are exactly the way they were a year ago. Over the last year, our world has changed, the world has changed, and our individual worlds have changed. And within our own world, machovaso, what's my mission? What's my purpose? Hashem, what's my assignment? What's next? It doesn't say, what are my privileges? Other memberships come with privileges. Ooh, you made Mosaic. What are the privileges? Ooh, you got an Amex Gold. What are the privileges? Ooh, you're a chashev, a member of Costco. What are the privileges? You joined the Pillar Society at BRS. What are the privileges? You joined AAA. What are the privileges? This gym, if I join, what kind of privileges? Every other memberships have their privileges. Yiddishkeit and Judaism teach that in the world, you're not born and you don't wake up on any given day and say, no, Hashem, where are my rights and privileges? What do I get? What do I get? What do I get for being alive? What do I get for being here another day? What are my rights and privileges? No. No. We wake up and we say, I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm here another day. What are my responsibilities? What's my mission? What's my purpose? What are my duty? What are my obligations? Because we're not entitled to anything. There is nothing that we deserve and nothing we're entitled to and nothing in our lives that is a given. And with whatever we have and however we wake up and whoever we are, the question we ask ourselves is not, what are my zchuyos? What are my zchus? What are my privileges? What are my rights? What do I have coming? No. It's machovaso. What's my mission? What's my purpose? What's my duty? What's my obligation? What's my responsibility? Not what can I take from this world? What can I give to the world? And our world, as our world is not the same as anyone else's, our world right now is not the way it was a year ago. And it's a question that has to be asked over and over and over again. Given my new world, who I am, my season of life, my rhythm of life, what's happening in my family, what's happening in my world, what am I meant to do next? Not just let momentum carry us. Don't just coast and go through life. Don't just be a composite product of everything and everyone around you. Don't live the same year over and over again and call it a life. So many people are filled with such regret because they live the same year over and over and over again and call it a life. Each year has to be different. Each year we have to ask ourselves, new, what's the blueprint? What are the plans? What's the picture? What's my resolution for this year? For being the best version of myself? How will I measure whether I was successful? When I get to next Elul and I look back, how will I know if I fulfilled my promise, if I became who I thought I was meant to be? If I don't articulate, if I don't have a picture and a plan, if I don't make a resolution, then I'll never get there. Ma chovas ha'adam ba'olamo. This is what Hashem wants from us. The Hilchos Shlomo Rebbe writes on the Pasuk, which Hashem literally tells us, that Ma Hashem lokecha shol me'imach, what does Hashem want from you? And then the Torah gives us a list. The Torah gives us a list. As Hashem lokecha shol me'imach, me'imach daika. Says the Slonim Rebbe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel. What does God want? What does your country ask? What does God ask? It says Me'imach. What does Hashem ask? Of you. Why of you? Because what Hashem asks of you is different than what He's asking of your neighbor or your friend or even your spouse or your children. The question we ask and pose ourselves is not Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoal. What does He want? Generically, what does He want? We all have to look the same, act the same, vote the same, be the same, observe the same, think the same, do the same. No. Each of us is unique and distinct. Each is a world unto ourselves. Each have a purpose and a mission for why we're here and why we woke up this day. And the question Hashem is asking, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoal Me'imach. What does He want from you? Kefi Shorish Nishmaso, according to the root of your neshama. Your neshama is not the same as someone else. Utchunosav, who are you? Kfiat Kuf Vayom. And what period are you living in and what's going on? What does the moment call for? Tafshin Pehe and going into Tafshin Pe Vav. This moment, the Jewish condition in the world, what's happening in Israel, our brothers and sisters, I have a nephew went back in today, and another nephew is leaving his wife and children to go back in next week. What is this tkufa? What is this condition of the Jewish people? What does it call for from us? There can't be fatigue. We can't fail to answer the call for our people, in our community, for our family, for ourselves. And each of us are a soldier. Each of us are unique and distinct. Each of us have a mission and a purpose. And each of us need to make a plan, to have a picture of who we want to be, to determine what's the scorecard, how are we going to measure whether we got there, because what gets measured gets managed. And if you're missing the clarity, if you don't have clarity, imagine you meet with the contractor, you meet with the architect, hey, the wall will go somewhere around here. The window will be somewhere over there. It'll be something like this tall. I don't know, it'll all work out. Are you going with that contractor? Are you making the last payment to that architect? No. Show me exactly. Precision? Is it accurate? I need to see a rendering. Today you have the ability, if you're willing to spend the money, the architect can provide a virtual reality 3D image you can take a tour and you can walk into and you can touch what you're going to build before ever the first bulldozer comes to the property. Because the more there's clarity in the plan, the more likely it'll come to fruition. It'll be fulfilled. The more the structure will be built. Writes the Slonim Rebbe, Chaser lo abihiris. If you don't have clarity, a clear picture, if there's not a rendering, if there's not a plan, b'chavaso apratis ba'olam shelo, of your unique duty, of your unique responsibility in olamo shelo, in your world, atafkidav yudav, on your job, your mission, your fate, domahu l'mahalach b'drachem ve'en yodeh lehichan machoz cheftzo, sh'af pam lo'egiel mataraso. If you're wandering and if you're walking and if you have no idea where you're going, then you certainly will never get there. If you don't have a clear picture, where are you going in Tafshin Pevav? Where are you going in Tafshin Pevav? And I don't care how old you are, what stage of life you are, if you're working, if you're retired, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could be 100-year-old. What's your plan for this year? What's your plan? What's your purpose? What are you going to accomplish? How will you look back and measure success? What kind of person? What's your brand? In your interactions and relationships with others, in your interactions and relationship with Hashem, in your interaction in relationship with yourself. This is what this time of year, this is what this is all about. And we're never done. We're never finished. I think it was Tolstoy who said, everyone wants to change the world. Nobody wants to change themselves. But the way to change the world is to change ourselves. Don't be satisfied with being an object. Don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah and don't sleepwalk through this year. Don't let gravity pull you down. Don't just be a chevtza. Be a gavra. Man up. In the generic sense, you're still allowed to say that. This is a safe space. Generic, man, woman up, kid up, girl up, boy up, child up. Be a gavra, man up. Stop blaming, stop making excuses, stop pointing a finger. Your DNA is not your destiny. Where you come from is not where you're going. And don't blame everyone and everything around you. Don't be a chevtza that falls, be a gavra that rises, that roars, and we can make it our year. Our year. Hashem is ready to step in and help. just like he did with Moshe and the menorah, if we have a clear picture of what we want, he'll help us get there. He'll help us get it. He'll help us become who we want to be. But it'll never happen if we don't have that picture. It can't happen if we don't have that picture. So Chevra, this is our year. Don't just have wishes. Don't think you're going to wake up on Motzei Rosh Hashanah or Motzei Yom Kippur or Motzei Sukkos and you're going to wake up to have that life or be that person that you wish to be. Don't be satisfied with wishes. Don't make a wish. You're starting a new organization. Make a resolution. Make a resolution foundation. Don't make a wish. Make a resolution. Write it down. Tell others who can hold you accountable. Create a spreadsheet and metrics and a scorecard of how you'll measure it. For each of us, it'll look different. Is this our year to focus on Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Atzmo, between us and others, between us and God, between us and ourselves? Some, it's the year to whip our health into shape, our health and wellness, to finally tackle it. And all the wishes, I really wish I did push-ups this morning. I really wish I did sit-ups. I really wish I didn't eat that. I really wish I weighed that. I really wish I went on that machine. I really wish I went for that walk. Guess what? The scale doesn't care about your wishes. And the blood test doesn't care about your wishes. And your annual doesn't care about your wishes. What's the resolution you're going to make? How will you measure it and know you succeeded? It could be spiritual health. More times making it to minyan more on time, less talking or doing minyan. Could be a resolution. Each year, my wife and I try to communicate with each other. Our Kabbalah is our resolution for that year. And I have to tell you, the small things have enormous impact. Enormous impact. A resolution, I'm not going to bring my phone into shul. Okay, if you make the resolution for Shabbos, it can be relatively easy if you're Shomer Shabbos. So that doesn't count. That's like the people who sign up not to speak Lashon Hara from 3 to 4 a.m. Such a tzaddik. What a tzaddikus. But make a resolution not to bring a phone into shul the rest of the week. You know what difference it'll be for your davening? A couple years ago, I made a resolution. I wouldn't touch technology till after Havdalah. Before that, I used to. At the end of Shabbos, Marv was over in shul. I'd sit in my office. For a minute, I'd go back on my laptop or phone before I went home and greeted the new week with all that it had. What happened in the world? What's new? Let me check. Let me see. By the time I came home for Havdalah, I was already ois Shabbos, ois mensch. I was already not in Shabbos, not in this world. It was over, so I made a resolution. No matter how long it waits for this kid to come home, we can't make Havdalah, this one's not ready. I'm not touching technology till after Havdalah. I have got to get in this touch with this person, or we've got to make that flight, or this is going to be gone. Not touching technology. Hold on and stretch Shabbos a little bit longer, a little bit later. Is the weekday so great that you can't wait for Shabbos to end? Is the weekday so wonderful that you're running back? And that's true sometimes for women, ladies who are at home waiting for the person who's going to come home. They're schlepping, they're schmoozing, they're Rabbeinu Taming, they're whatever. Don't touch technology. A little bit longer. Read. Say Tehillim. Learn. Talk to somebody. A little bit longer. Everyone has to make their own resolution of what they want to do. I started a spreadsheet. I'm not sharing this to flex or show off because I have a lot that I didn't fulfill. But I'm trying to give it as an example to motivate. Last year, I started a spreadsheet that had several lines of things that for years I had claimed I wanted to do. But the spreadsheet doesn't lie. You either did your push-ups or you didn't. You did your sit-ups or you didn't. You thought I was going to get through this. You did your ice bath, your ice plunge, or you didn't. What's the last time at night you ate? If you spent your life hating yourself because you eat a bag of potato chips on the way to bed and never feel good, then stop talking, stop wishing you're going to stop, and start holding yourself accountable by recording what's the last time that you ate. Make a promise, this is when I stop eating, and see whether you keep up to it. Track how many hours of sleep you got, because getting enough sleep turns out to be really important to be an Eved Hashem. Track what time you got to show. There's so many things. Did you have that date night that you claimed you cared to have? Did you set aside to spend time, even if it's virtually, with each child wherever they live? Every day, every week. Don't just wish, because if you wish, you won't wake up to find it true. But if we make resolutions that this is our year to no longer be objects but become subjects, then Amir Hashem will look back at Tavshin Pei Vav and see our best year yet. Thank you so much for coming.